The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own into the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper, took off his outer garments, he took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean."
Thank you. 2:7.
Please stand. So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Now, I thought this evening we'd make that little change in the procedure. So because this evening's ceremony is rich, absolutely rich in symbolism and in ritual. And that lovely phrase in the gospel reading this evening, "Do you understand what I have done?" I wonder, do we? Do you realize what I have done? Just for a few moments, I want to put it in the background a little bit. For the Jews, long before Jesus came, the Passover meal was a very, very important event. And for many Jews in the world today, it still is a very important event. And in the Passover, they're thanking God for their freedom from delivering them from Egypt into Israel. So the Passover, in many ways, is a thank you to God. And that's the very meaning of the Eucharist. We come to the Eucharist to thank God. That's the only real reason for coming, because God is so good to us, to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. The Eucharist defines our church. It creates our community. It creates our community. In the third Eucharistic prayer, there's a lovely part that I love in the prayer, where we pray that we may become one body, one spirit in Christ. I love saying that. It's so full of meaning and depth, that we may become one body, one spirit in Christ. And boy, do we need to be that way at the present time, when we live in a world that's so, so divided. And we need to be one body, one spirit in Christ more than ever before. So, what do this in memory of me? What is Jesus really saying to us there? Just come and celebrate Mass once a week. Celebrate the Eucharist once a week. No. Much more than that. I think I said to you last year, many people like to worship Jesus, but far fewer want to follow him. Because worshiping him and following him are two different things. And we are called to be followers of Christ. That's the very meaning of Christian. If I say to you, are you a Christian? I'm saying, are you a follower of Christ? A true follower of Christ. How do we do that? By imitating what Jesus has done for us. Jesus sacrificed himself for us. In the Mass, we refer to him just as the Jews in the olden days sacrificed a lamb. In the Mass, we refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Lamb who sacrificed himself for us. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. We also are asked to make a sacrifice, to offer a sacrifice to God. What is that sacrifice you and I are asked to offer every moment, every day of our lives? And it's how we live the Mass. What is that sacrifice? That sacrifice is the ego or the self. We got to die before we die. We got to die to the self. That's real following of Jesus. It's not easy. We got sometimes to stand up and be counted. If I'm always thinking of myself, if I'm putting myself all first all the time, then I am not a true follower of Christ. How do I live? Am I a source of unity, or am I a source of division? Do I create division, or do I create unity wherever I go? And creating unity often means sacrificing oneself. Jesus was always totally, totally inclusive. There's a lovely little story I like to tell You need a bit of imagination for this. But some friends of Jesus one day took him to a football game. Can you imagine Jesus going to a football game? And it was a football game between the Protestant punchers and the Catholic crusaders. And there was Jesus with his cap and his flag, and he had some, I think, popcorn or a Diet Coke or something, and he was there enjoying the game. And the first to score were the Protestant punchers. And Jesus jumped up and waved his cap and sat down, all excited. A few minutes later, the Catholic crusader scored, and Jesus jumped up again and waved his cap wildly. And this happened a few times. And two men sitting behind him, one of them tapped him on the shoulder and said, "What team are you supporting?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just enjoying the football." One fellow turned to the other and said, "He must be an atheist." Jesus never took sides. He was always a creator of unity. And that's how he wants us to be also, a creator of unity. And every time you come to Mass, you're given a mission. Go out now and do what we have reenacted here at the Mass. Go out and do it. Love one another as I have loved you. What a beautiful mission. Love one another as I have loved you. I often think it's difficult sometimes to get up Sunday after Sunday and give a homily and get new ideas. And some of us are, you know, wonderful preachers. Maybe sometimes we don't have much to say, or we're not very good at the job. But the greatest homily, I always think, any priest can give is how he celebrates Mass, how he celebrates the Eucharist. And I, in my life, and I'm sure these very good men behind me also have seen it many, many times, that a priest comes down and he gives a homily, and then he spoils it by the way he goes up and rushes through the Mass. Where it becomes, you know, the words are almost meaningless, it's almost done in a robotic way. Almost as if I got to get out of here as fast as possible. I think I told you before, and Monsignor will know this, people in Ireland will get into a car and drive 10 miles to go to Mass, where a priest can get through a Mass in 35 minutes on a Sunday morning. Am I right or wrong? You better say right. You better agree. But it's a fact. And you wonder, why? What is it all about? They're wasting fuel. It takes them 15, 20 minutes to get there, but the Mass is quick. He's quick. And some priests fall for that in order to get more people to come. Believe me, the greatest homily we can give is how we celebrate the Eucharist. And I know we're very blessed with the priests we have here. They celebrate Mass beautifully from what I know of them. But it's not always the case. And every time you come to Mass, I want you to put your heart and your soul into the celebration. And if you do that, you'll never be fed up, you'll never be bored, and you will go out full of joy and renewed and reinvigorated to spread the good word. Go now to love and serve the Lord. What a beautiful mission every time you get when you come to Mass. Go out now to love and serve the Lord. And that's what we're doing here this evening. And that's what we are going through in this beautiful ceremony, just what Jesus did for us, remembering that. Amen.